Muted yourself. If you haven't muted yourself, I will mute you altogether. And we would like to welcome to our leadership this morning, Reverend Shay McGinnis. We are very grateful for Shay's flexibility. He had planned to be in person with us, and we had planned to be in person with him. But today we are worshiping via Zoom. So thank you all for joining in. And now, Reverend Shay.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I hope that you are warm and safe in your homes. I got muted too. Anyway, I'm Shay McGinnis. You may have seen me around Westover. I preached with you last year sometime, and I'm a part of the Queer Collective, so we spend a lot of time over on campus at Westover. And really glad to be able to be with y'all over Zoom this morning, and thank you for pivoting for that. I did want to just give a quick reminder that we are going to be celebrating communion today. So if you have not had a chance and you want to go real quick and grab a roll of bread, a cracker, a tortilla, whatever common bread you have in your house works. That's the whole point. These are common foods. I have apple juice and a cracker this morning. So apple juice, grape juice, whatever you have. If you happen to have a bottle of wine already open, use that. And we will celebrate communion together today. Can everyone hear me okay? Thumbs up. Excellent. I am. We are God's people wherever and however we are gathered. And today we are gathered together on Zoom. And I am grateful that we have this available to us so that at least we have this opportunity to see each other's faces and talk and learn and be disciples together. So with that, I'm going to start our worship and hand it over to Liz.
Please remain muted as you join in the responsive call to worship. If you have the bulletin, please read along with me, but please stay muted. Come and see. The light of God has come into our world to proclaim God's justice and love. It has overcome the darkness and brought new life. Come and follow. Christ, our companion, has redeemed our world. He draws us into a loving family from every tribe and family and culture. Go and tell. The Spirit has equipped us for service, to love our neighbors as we do ourselves, to bring God's salvation to the ends of the earth. Come and see. Come and follow. Go and tell. In God's love, the nations of the earth will put their hope. Our opening hymn is Morning Has Broken, and you're invited to hum or sing the words of the first verse of Morning Has Broken while I read those words. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing. Praise for the morning. Praise for them springing fresh from the word. Please stay muted, but say with me the words of the prayer of confession. How many times, Lord Jesus, have you come to us unwelcomed? How often have you visited? Yet we have been too busy to notice. Spoken, yet we have been too full of ourselves. Change all our insensitive habits and help us to do better. Make us so sensitive to your immediate comings in the ups and downs of each ordinary day that we shall be well prepared to. to welcome your final coming as a consummation of love and joy. For your love's sake, amen.
God knows that we are human, and God loves us in our humanity and all of the messiness that that can bring. We are the children of God, and our Savior Jesus Christ forgives our sins and renews us through the waters of baptism over and over again. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. I invite you to unmute yourselves and just have a confident sharing of the peace together. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ, everybody.
Peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ be
peace
with you.
Everybody.
And also
peace
with you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
Yes.
Buddy.
Peace of Christ.
Peace of Christ.
Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with
so
you.
With you.
Thank you for that. Please mute us again if you would, Liz.
Somebody. No.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we tell the story of you and your history and your people, and we participate in that ongoing storytelling by the reading of Scripture, by studying your word, and applying it to our lives. Please bless our hearing. Illumine us this morning to what may be spoken anew. It's through your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Listen now for the word of God. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world didn't know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people didn't accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of humankind, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be. Let us pray. O God, through all the words, may it be your word that is heard this day. Amen. When I lived in the mountains of northern Utah, I was riding through the canyon one day in January. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The day was sunny and clear, and there was snow on the ground, not unlike today. As I crested the hill into the valley, I saw the moon peeking above the mountains. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My mother used to call it the children's moon. She said it came out early sometimes so that kids could see it before they went to bed. Growing up, every now and then, growing up, every now and then, I'd catch a glimpse of it on my way home from school. It always gave me a little thrill to see it. It was like hearing a secret. It felt as if the sky was sending me a message, revealing some truth about the world beyond. Maybe that afternoon moon is a reminder that there is more to the world than what we can see. The afternoon sky announces the coming of a light that will shine even on the darkest of nights. There's a thinness to the air in winter. It feels as if the barrier between heaven and earth lifts at times. Snow drapes the ground with a fresh layer of shimmery white silk. The children's moon, now fully formed in the sky, peeks through Earth's thin veil, casting a wintry glow on the ground below. A light in the darkness that opens up the night for us to see. This moonlight literally changes how we see the environment around us. Now, I imagine that there was a similar feeling of thinness in the days following Christ's birth. The ancient scriptures had promised a Messiah, one who would come to save the world from itself. And here is this child who is God incarnate. The child of light come to earth to create a new world, to challenge the way that we think about things. And the way that we exist in relationship with each other. This light of the world, like the moon in winter, changes how we see the environment around us. A life that has been brought into life in order that we may have new life. Let me say that again. A life has been brought into life in order that we may have new life. Kind of makes your head spin to think about it, doesn't it? It's like some otherworldly collision. Well, I think John's gospel account captures this feeling so well. The literary critics call this method cosmological dualism, or to say it more simply, interplay between heaven and earth. The author taps into this melding of divine and human. Heaven is represented by light, and earth is represented by darkness. John paints the two as being separate and often in opposition to each other. Through using this kind of imagery, John draws out the stark contrast between the world that they knew and the world that God had promised. The people of John's time were living in a world characterized by uncertainty. They were trying to figure out who they were. They were living in darkness. They knew the ancient prophecy that a Messiah would come to deliver them, but the years just kept passing. Perhaps they wondered if what they believed would ever actually come true. Perhaps they wondered they were destined to dwell in darkness. It seems, too, that we are living in a world of darkness, a world in which injustice reigns, fear controls, and violence only sows more violence. These things that plague us are the opposite of what Christ teaches. We have read the scriptures, we believe in the promise, we proclaim the kingdom of God and work to make it happen. But the darkness is penetrating and we get overwhelmed. We need someone to help us see through this dark night. As the new year dawns, we see with fresh eyes, because at Christmas, we celebrate the inbreaking of God into our world. Not because God was never there or because God has left, but because we recognize our need for God's grace. God gave birth to God's self. And I know that, again, that sounds mind-blowing. And that's because it is. It's an absolutely jaw-dropping, mystifying, earth-shattering idea that God, who is all-powerful, would choose to become human, to become a screaming, crying, pooping little baby. And that little child of light is the Messiah, who is greater than all of the greatest kings and prophets. So great that even 2,000 years later, people are still living their lives by what he taught. God became flesh. God loved us so much that God became one of us. In explaining the incarnation, Lutheran pastor Nadia Boles Weber says this: God chose to reveal who God is by slipping into skin and walking among us as Jesus. Christmas marks not the beginning of God, but the beginning of a new way of seeing God. God entered our world so that we could get to know God better. This opening chapter of John proclaims that the story is an account of God's transforming work through Jesus Christ. It was written in order to encourage people who felt lost. It was written as assurance that there is indeed light in the world. And we know this because at the end of John's gospel account, it says that all of these things were written down so that whoever hears this story will know that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, and that through believing, they will have new life in Christ. This imagery of light entering into darkness is a symbol of God entering into our world, a breaking in of heaven to earth. Jesus Christ is a human manifestation of God's celestial world. Through the incarnation of Christ, God reveals God's self as one, both heaven and earth, not in opposition, but existing in beautiful harmony. Like the children's man, God peers out over our world to assure all of us that there is indeed light in the darkness. Earth was certainly transformed on that first Christmas day, and it is always being made new by God's grace. Through Christ, we have new life. A life that does not dwell in darkness, but in the eternal light of God's transformative and unconditional grace. Yes, we are into January. And unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior. Even after all these years, his star is still shining bright, filled with the peace, love, joy, and hope of the Christmas season. We set out on the path towards God's heaven on earth. May it be so. Alleluia and amen.
The hymn of response, Reverend Shea will work into a later part of the liturgy. Let us affirm our faith together. So if you have the bulletin, please read or say the Apostles' Creed, which is our affirmation of faith for today, and please remain muted. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As God's people and as disciples, it is our greatest joy to be able to offer pieces of ourselves, of our wealth, our time, of our talents, to the doing of God's work here on earth in this time and place, leading, being led by the Spirit. And when we give our offerings, we do it as a part of the celebration of the Lord's Supper, because that is how Christians have been doing it since the earliest accounts that we have of communion. Justin Martyr in his house church gathered all of the people of the community, and they worshiped and they celebrated together, and they took what they had, and then right afterwards they took it out and they distributed these gifts among the needy. So when we celebrate communion together with that spirit, the table of communion is a holy table, but it's not a fancy table. Today, it's whatever surface is in front of you. It's not gilded in gold or decorated with fine china and set apart behind a heavy door. No, this table, God's table, stands in every messy corner of this world, where gather the hungry and lost and small. It is rough-hewn and well-loved and scratched, littered with crumbs and stained with wine and juice. Because this holy table is the kids' table, and we can never outgrow it, because no passage of time nor matter of circumstance can ever make us any less than beloved children of God. So come, come like children, eager and innocent, timid and rascally, hopeful and vulnerable. Come exactly as you are, you beautiful child of God. You who have much faith and you who have little. You who have been here often and you who haven't been in a long time. Come and know that it is Jesus Christ who calls you to this family meal, and Jesus Christ who welcomes you home. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, strong and faithful God. All your works, the heights and the depths, echo the silent music of your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light, night withdrew, and creation dawned. As ages passed unseen, waters gathered on the face of the earth and life appeared. When the times at last had ripened and the earth had full grown in abundance, you created us in your image, the stewards of all creation. You gave us breath and speech that all the living might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you called good. So we sing with all the powers of heaven and earth the ageless hymn of your glory. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All holy God, how wonderful is the work of your hands. When sin had scarred the world, you entered into covenant to renew the whole creation. A mother tenderly gathering her children, a father joyfully welcoming his own. You embraced a people as your own and filled them with longing for a peace that would last and for a justice that would never fail. Through countless generations, your people hungered for the bread of freedom. From them, you rose up your son, Jesus, the living bread, in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with a love stronger than death, he opened his arms and surrendered his spirit. And it is this Savior who teaches us the prayer that we pray without ceasing, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you have your elements before you, please get them ready. On the night before he met with death, Jesus came to the table with those he loved. He took bread and praised you, God of all creation. He broke the bread among his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you." When the supper was ended, he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to you, Mother of all creation. He passed the cup among his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gracious God, as we offer you our praise and thanksgiving, we commemorate Jesus, your Son. Death could not bind him, for you raised him up in the spirit of holiness and exalted him as beloved of creation. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty One, all loving Three, forever and ever. Amen. This morning, instead of singing our closing hymn, "For the Beauty of the Earth," we'd like to read some of the lyrics for you, "For I Send You on Your Day." For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. For the wonder of each hour, the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, sibling, child, for friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild. For thyself, best gift divine, to the world so freely given. For that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Lord of all, to thee we raise our hymn of grateful Beloved child of God, look to the sky this afternoon, and if you happen to glimpse the children's moon, remember that God's heaven is in breaking to our world all the time. Know that you are a blessed child of God, that peace is upon you, and that you are surrounded with love at all times, no matter what, and forever. May the grace of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all for more. Please go in peace.
Thank you for being with us and for your message.
Yes. Thank you, especially for the invitation to communion. That was beautiful.
A friend of mine wrote that.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.